Hello Pod, I'm Chris Hewitt and welcome to the latest episode of Celebration of Cinema, or Celebrate Our Cinemas, depending on what you prefer, in association with Meerkat Movies from Compare the Market. It's the podcast which sees me talk every week to someone from the world of film and ask them about their own memories of going to the cinema over the years. The movies that made them laugh, the movies that made them cry, the movies that made them jump up in terror, that sort of thing. This week's guest is the wonderful, wickedly funny, one and only Asim Chowdhury, star of People Just Do Nothing, Big in Japan. That's the big screen spin-off, or escalation if you prefer, of People Just Do Nothing, the long-running BBC sitcom in which Chowdhury stars as Jubuddy G, the iconic and slightly hapless wannabe entrepreneur slash manager of Corrupt FM. You'll never guess where they go in the movie, by the way, folks. Japan. In case that wasn't obvious. And Japan is where we start in this interview, in which Chowdhury also talks about the formative experiences of his movie-going life, the films that made him laugh, cry, and, you know, the other one as well. Oh, and speaking of which, he talks about that time Paranormal Activity almost got him into deep trouble with US Customs, and we almost started business together. You'll have to listen to find out what and why. As anyone who has followed Chowdhury's work over the years will know, he is a very, very funny man, and I had an absolute blast talking to him, and I hope you guys do too. Do please enjoy. We're delighted to be joined on this very, very special Celebration of Cinema podcast series by the star of People Just Do Nothing Big in Japan, Asim Chowdhury. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. I am not too bad. Thanks for asking. So you were on the regular Empire podcast recently. We talked about how you spent a lot of time in Tokyo whilst you were filming this movie towards the tail end of 2019. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to start there. I've been in Tokyo a few times, but I've never been to the cinema in Japan. Did you get a chance to go to the cinema in Japan?
I didn't. And you know what? Absolutely trick missed there, because I would have loved to have gone. I did want to go, actually, because there were a few films out at that time. One of the crew did, actually, one of the cast members, Decoy Dan, he went, actually, and he had a really good time. I forgot what he watched, actually, but I should have gone. But you know, like I said, my schedule was just a bit mental. I've kind of learned a lesson now, because I went on from one film shoot to straight another one with no rest, and I think I kind of burnt out a little bit towards the end. And even when I had like 2 or 3 days left and my girlfriend came over, I was such a moody git, you know. And I'm here in Japan, and it was so annoying, because I was like, I knew I was being a moody git, yeah. But I literally just burnt out. Like, you know, it was like 3 months nonstop every day, you know. So I learned a lesson now to be like, look, I can't, you know, in terms of schedule, I need a little break, man. Because it's just, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not fair on yourself. It's not fair. And I was an absolute moody bastard. And there I was in Japan. I'll tell you one thing, though, I did get from Japan.
Okay.
Like, literally, it's the toilets. You know about this, Chris, right?
Yeah, I know the toilets, yeah.
Mate, I absolutely loved them, right? And I actually I've got a Japanese toilet now in my home and in my flat in Hackney.
Really?
I've got a Japanese toilet in my flat in Hackney, and it's the best thing I've ever bought in my life. I've had it for nearly a year and a half now, and it is my baby. I'm telling you, she takes care of me. You know, she washes me, she dries me, she comforts me, she sings to me. I swear to you, Chris, I have the cleanest arsehole in Hackney. And if you want to come round, you don't believe me, you come round for a shit, mate, whenever you want. Okay, it's an open invite.
I think you were inviting me around to inspect rather than...
No, you come round, I'll wait outside, and then you do your business, and I'll be like, all right, Chris, how you doing? How's it going?
All right. Okay.
How's the progress? You feeling anything yet? Honestly, though, best investment ever. And I don't know why. I don't know what the problem is with this country. We are so advanced in so many ways, but we are barbaric when it comes to our toilet hygiene. Like in Japan, 85% or something have it. Even if you go into like the dodgiest little services, you'll see an automatic robot toilet. The Japanese toilets, they're everywhere. And in terms of hygiene and paper, like you don't need to use that much toilet paper because it dries you. It's better for everything, you know.
It's so great.
I don't know why.
Heated seats, the whole thing. It's tremendous.
Oh my god, heated seats in the winter. You know, when you need a shit. And it's literally, you sit down there. The only bad thing about it is you spend too much time on there. You get dead leg, you know, I mean, all that stuff. It gets a bit too comfortable. But it's amazing, mate. I'm so passionate. I know we're talking about films, but Mate, I could do a whole podcast on Japanese toilets.
Listen, we could spin off into Celebration of the Toilets. I'm happy to do that. But actually, no, maybe another time. But it makes you think, right? Because I didn't have that cinema experience in Japan. Mm. You didn't have that cinematic experience in Japan. But I have gone to cinema in Indonesia, and it was absolutely wild.
Like, really?
One of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. The seats are luxurious and really comfortable. And almost everything's a double. Wow. You can recline all the way back. The sound is incredible. The picture's incredible. It's air conditioned. They really, really take care of you. So
wow.
I imagine if Japan is as dedicated to its cinema comfort as it is to its toilet comfort, then you're going to be quids in.
Well, hold on a minute. There we go. Japanese toilets in a cinema. Imagine that. You're watching a film and you're getting a full MOT down there at the same time. Bloody hell. I mean, could there be anything better?
That'd be amazing. Just watching that scene from Dumb and Dumber with Jeff Daniels in the toilet. But you're on a really good toilet.
You're on a really good toilet, yeah. I like it.
The worst toilet in the world in Trainspotting. And also, you're on the... Oh,
also, yes, a really weird... you know what they call the backyard cinema?
Yes.
That would be a really weird... the Japanese toilet backyard cinema experience. Wow.
Asim, are you interested in a side hustle? Because I think this is our Dragon's Den idea.
This is my Chobuddy side coming out, as you can see. This is the Chobuddy side of my brain, you know?
It's
Dragon's
amazing.
Dragon's Den, imagine that. And now my friend Chris will demonstrate. I don't need to have a shit. We'll force one. Come on, we're on the spot. Give him some milk or something. Come on.
We call him Cine Poo.
Cine Poo. There we go. It's done. Love it. Love it.
Oh, my God. So you haven't gone to the cinema. You haven't gone to cinema in Japan. Have you been anywhere exotic? What's the most glamorous location that you've seen a film in the cinema?
Oh, really good question. You know what? I've got such a nostalgic memory of being... I think maybe 10 or 9 or something like that. And I was my mom was briefly married to an American dude. So we went to go visit him out in Orlando. And it was a bit, you know, it was a bit weird because it was like the new stepdad, you know, kind of thing. But he was cool. They're not together anymore. Marriage doesn't last. It's a myth. Anyway, I remember we watched a film. At first, I remember we went to Red Lobster, which was quite cool because, you know, it's like a very American back then. Yeah. And then we watched Bowfinger. And I just remember that cinema was so old school, and it had the popcorn with, they poured the butter on the top of it. And I just remember that film was so funny. I think it's a very underrated comedy film, actually. Great. I think Eddie Murphy, I mean, obviously, you know, Steve Martin's amazing as well, but Eddie Murphy's performance in that, playing the nerd and obviously the action star. And it's a brilliant concept for a film, you know, like if you can't get this big megastar, just film it without him knowing. And that scene when he's running across the road and he's like, like just hysterically, it was so memorable. And it wasn't the most luxurious cinema, but it was old school, man. Like it had an art deco kind of vibe, I feel like. And because I was so young and it was American. And then I remember we saw Crocodile after that, like just on the street, like an alligator or a croc. I can't remember which ones, but
what the hell?
Yeah, we just saw one from a distance. And then my stepdad was just like, get in the car. And but for him, it was like normal. And I remember he had a gun. You know, like, and he, I remember he said something that he was like, my gun's like American Express. Never leave home without it. And I was like, wow, you're cool. I mean, you're banging my mom, which is weird, but you are cool. And he was just completely unfazed by seeing an alligator on this, you know. So it was a mad day. And I just thought, I think all the stuff around it made that cinema experience and the film itself. So whenever I watch that film, it's really nostalgic. But that was a really memorable cinema experience for me. I love that.
Amazing. So is the cinema important to you? Are you a big moviegoer?
I love it. I love cinema. You know, ever since I was a really, you know, a young boy, I remember I was making films, making, you know, with any kind of cameras I had, anything, you know. I remember editing as well. I love the power of editing. I just love it. Quite a few years back now, I stopped going to cinema with people. So I've been exclusively going to the cinema on my own probably for the last 7 or 8 years.
I see what you mean. Initially, I thought you meant that you booked out an entire cinema on your own. You just went by yourself.
I'm not that bougie, Chris.
Okay. Wait, what you meant is you don't go with friends.
I don't go with anyone. Okay. Yeah, I don't like going to the cinema with anyone. I mean, I don't enjoy it. I like to just be fully immersed. And even at home, to be honest, like, I watch films, some with my girlfriend, but mostly I like to watch films on my own. I like to be immersed. I like to just get lost in cinema. You know, I don't really, you know, and sometimes I like writing a little review after that on Letterboxd or something, or even just for myself, write some thoughts down. And I really love cinema. I just think it's, you know, it's the purest form of escapism. And, you know, in terms of you know, storytelling and nostalgia. Like, it's just everything, you know. Without film, you know, it's quite a depressing world, I think. You know, you need film. It uplifts you. It can make you think. It can make you laugh, make you cry. I mean, everything. You know, I love it.
What was the film that made you fall in love with cinema? Or was there more than one?
I always say, you know, I always say Taxi Driver is probably my number one, which I remember watching Taxi Driver when I was quite young, you know, quite inappropriate. But I remember it was probably around year 9, year 8, I probably watched Taxi Driver. And I just loved it. I loved the soundtrack. I just, you know what I love? I love lonely characters in neon cities. I think there's just something about those kind of films that just make me feel something so strong, you know. And, you know, God's Lonely Man, and, you know, it's just that character. And, oh God, it's an absolutely beautiful film. And it's dark, it's depressing. It could be humorous. It's surreal. It made me want to, like, live in New York, even though it looked so dangerous. And I just wanted to be part of that kind of that aesthetic, I think. I don't know what it was, but yeah, definitely Taxi Driver was definitely one of the first films that made me think, wow, this is like pure cinema, you know. And obviously there's been so many, you know, films over the past years, but yeah, I think if I had to, like, just my go-to, I would probably say Taxi Driver, but it has changed. But yeah, it probably has the first, I would say the first.
So that's the gateway drug.
Yeah.
Presumably that wasn't a cinematic experience. That must have been on VHS, I'm guessing, back in the day. But what was the childhood cinema for you? Where did you go to when you were growing up?
So I'm from Hounslow, but kind of a smaller place in Hounslow called Hamworth. And we had Feltham Cineworld. And I remember that was my kind of go-to place. I remember actually bunking from school once and going to watch Men in Black on my own. I don't know why that's really memorable. But we had that. But actually, I had a really, really strong memory of, if you, there was a very famous Bollywood cinema in West Ealing.
Right.
It's closed down now, but it was like, I think it was voted as one of the worst cinemas in the country. Like, you know, they had rats and, like, it was just disgusting, but it was a pure Bollywood cinema and it was really famous. And, you know, because, you know, Bollywood films are so long, they have this thing called intermission, which is basically a break because the film's so fucking long. And I just remember as a child, like really young, this is before, you know, Taxi Driver and watching any of those films. As a child, I remember going to watch these Bollywood films, which were great because Bollywood, 90s Bollywood is the best Bollywood, because it's at that awkward bit when they're not really trying, they're not fully kind of Asian and they're not fully kind of American or British. They're trying to be American. They're trying to be British. But you know what I mean? So there's loads of English when they're like, hey, man, shut up, man. And all that kind of, like, it's just so wrong. And there was loads of remakes of English films that are hilarious. And the villains, oh my God, it was just genius. Like, I love it. I've even written a Bollywood film spoof, like a comedy that I will make one day. But anyway, that memory of going there with my mum, my dad, my aunties, my cousin, everyone dressed up, everyone really glam, but going into this shittiest cinema ever and watching this 3-hour film with an intermission. And during the intermission is when you go outside and all the uncles will be smoking pipes and, you know, cigars and, you know, drinking their whiskey and eating their curry. Like, it was just such an amazing experience. And I don't know what it's called, but I can't remember the name of it, but it was very famous. I'll say that was a very, very memorable cinema experience for me. For people who know, they'll know. Yeah. West Ealing, the Bollywood cinema, people just know. And then after that, it became a Polish cinema, I swear to God.
Really?
Yeah, it became a Polish cinema. And now it's apartments, obviously.
Oh, so, of course. That's the cinema's ultimate fate in a way.
Yeah.
It's like their chrysalis stage is being a cinema, and then they bloom into these glorious butterflies that are... two-bedroom apartment is £650,000.
Exactly. Grey. Completely grey. Oh, man.
So that's gone. That cinema's gone. Mm-hmm. The Feltham Cineworld, is that still with us?
Feltham Cineworld is still there, yeah. And that was a very important place as well, I remember, you know, because it had the arcades there as well, and bowling. And it was just really, really an amazing place to go. I mean, I remember getting robbed there. I remember, you know, going on a date there. I remember, I mean, just there was loads of firsts there, if you know what I mean. And a lot of my friends used to work there. And yeah, it was our spot. You know what I mean? It was like when you're young, you know, I don't know if kids do that anymore. Do kids still go to like the cinema and go to the arcade machines? I feel like they're more like, I don't know, but I feel like they're more like going into central London now, Soho, and doing TikToks. They're more advanced. Like for us, it was like, we wouldn't go to central London. We would be at the flipping Cineworld Mega Bowl down the road. You know what I mean? Like smoking cigarettes in the back and trying to, you know, snog a girl, you know, like that was our thing. But yeah, that's definitely still about, and good memories there.
Amazing. And without giving away where you live, obviously, what's your local cinema these days?
You know what? I actually can't. It's fine. I live in Hackney. My local cinema, see, because they're both called, like, you know, Hackney Picture House and Hackney, you know, they all called Hackney. Yeah, Picture House is my, but I'm quite close to Screen on the Green as well. Is it Green?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is an amazing little cinema as well. But yeah, Hackney Picture House is my local.
Do you go often?
I do. Well, I did. It's a bit weird now, isn't it? I haven't really been for a while, but I really want to go see that new Soul documentary, the Soul concert. I've heard that, and there's also the Rio's down the road from me as well, in Dalston.
Yeah, so that was my first local cinema in London.
Really?
I lived in Dalston for a while, right at the end of the road where the Rio was.
Yeah, it's a cool cinema, isn't it? It's nice. It's got a lot of character. I'm gonna try and catch that documentary. For me, it's just my schedule at the moment. It's just insane with promoting the film, and I'm about to go into another film, and I'm writing a lot, so I want to find time, because you know what I want to do. Here's an idea, Chris, another one to go with our Japanese toilet pop-up experience. Oh, pop-up, more like a poop-up.
Oh,
anyway.
That's good. See, we got it in the end.
Right.
Cine Poo was just a working title.
Yeah. Write that down. Like it's a really massive revelation. What was I going to say?
Your big business idea.
Yes. What was it?
I don't know.
Yeah. God, Chris, brain fart.
That's all right.
Oh, it was really good as well. That's so annoying. Oh, does that ever happen to you? I don't even smoke weed anymore. like I haven't for years.
So, yeah, obviously, I don't want to give away where you live, so don't worry. but do send me your postcode, and I will see the doubt later on. And so let's talk about some specific experiences that you've had in cinemas over the years. Do you remember the funniest film you've seen in a cinema? You talked about Bowfinger earlier on, but was there something else?
That's a really good question, isn't it? I'm trying to think if I saw, because you know what, a film I watched the other day again, and I realized, okay, this might be the greatest comedy film of all time. Mm-hmm. It's Team America.
Oh my God.
And actually, I think I did see in the cinema, and I think I actually, you know what, mate, I have to say, yeah, Team America is definitely up there, but I have to say, I remember watching the Inbetweeners movie in cinema. And that was fucking hilarious, the first one. And I remember watching the Harry Enfield, Kevin and Perry film in the cinema, and that was fucking hilarious. And both those two, I mean, those two films at the end, they're not like the best comedy films ever, but in the cinema with everyone laughing along and being young and being part of that generation, you know what I mean? Like growing up with those shows, that was amazing. But yeah, I would say Team America, watching that in the cinema, there was a lot of audible laughter, a lot of people kind of not being able to breathe because they're laughing so hard. It was just, it's such a fantastic film because it does all the things that, you know, South Park does, but because of the puppets they're using, it adds an extra level of shit to it. Like, you know, like the sex scene, obviously, but you know, some of the lines as well, where she goes, "I will have sex with you right now if you promise me never to die." And he goes, "I will never die." And they kiss and the fighting. And then it's so offensive, but to everyone, like it starts off in Paris and everyone's like, "Hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw," like these baguettes and croissants. And like, it's every stereotype you could ever imagine, you know, the Durka Durka, you know, jihad. I mean, it should be offensive, but it's not. And it never will be. That's the thing with, and I think they're the only people who can still do shit and never, ever get canceled. They're never getting canceled.
No.
Never. And I think
they're
uncancelable. And I think for me, Team America has to be up there with maybe Borat as well. If I did a top three, I watched Borat in the cinema as well. Very funny, the first one in the cinema. A lot of laughs. And maybe Dumb and Dumber, you know? I think those three for me. But yeah, I didn't watch Dumb and Dumber in the cinema. But yeah, Team America in the cinema, absolutely incredible. Incredible.
It's an incredible experience, isn't it? You know, we obviously got the communal experience. The lights are down. Everyone's laughing together. Laughter's infectious, which is great. And, you know, all through the pandemic, there have been some really, really good comedies that have come out over the last year or so. But for example, I watched, I don't know if you've seen Barb and Star Go to Fiesta Del Mar.
No, I want to watch that. Yeah, it's on my list.
Genius comedy. And I watched it here, watching it on my computer on my own because it was embargoed and I couldn't even show it to my wife.
Oh, man.
I'm just sitting here laughing so hard, but just wishing I was in a cinema with, you know, with other people just losing their shit or watching The Stony Face, because it's one of those movies. You either get it or you don't.
Totally, totally. But,
yeah, I miss that. I miss that aspect of it all. And I miss being scared shitless in cinemas as well. So that brings me on to question number two. Scariest film you've ever seen in a cinema?
Oh, that's a great question. I love horror. I really, really love horror. That's actually, you know, without, you know, like I spoke before, I don't know if it was on this one or the last one, but like the film that I'm working on, which is with BBC Films, that I can't speak too much about, but... Mm. It is a horror film, you know, and it's a horror film that I've been writing for around, you know, 3.5 years. And now I've, you know, officially kind of gone and got it, you know, working with BBC Films and Rose Garnett, and it's a horror film. So I love horror. And I think just that weird thing of like comedy guys going and doing horror or doing drama and doing straight things is always like so, it's bizarre, but in a weird way, because comedy, you know, it's kind of a defense mechanism about what you know, about fear. It's a lot to do with fear and insecurities and what are you really afraid of, and questioning fear and questioning all that stuff. So I love horror. Like, it might actually be my favorite genre of any film, you know. Now, in terms of cinema, I have to say the scariest film. Well, okay, so there's two, and they're very similar.
Okay.
The scariest film I've ever seen was when I was, I think I was 13 or 14, and I went to go watch The Blair Witch Project, okay? And I remember this was like dial-up days. I don't know if internet was popping, but we read some stuff about the Blair Witch, about how it was a double bluff where they were going, oh, the film's real, but it's not actually real, but actually it is real. And that's why it's being banned. So it was, maybe that's a triple bluff, I don't know. So we went in there not fully knowing and not having a source, not having a credible source, because we read some articles, we heard some stuff. So we went in there, and I swear to God, that's that experience. I remember I went with my mate, and I went with my sister and my sister's mate. We were all around, you know, 13, 14 or 15, something, I can't remember. But that was terrifying. But it was terrifying, but also so inspiring. Because then afterwards, I found out how much they, you know, the budget was for the film.
Yeah.
And then how much they made in the film. And I was like, wow, like, this is genius. But it was terrifying. And in the cinema, people were very uncomfortable. It was like watching a snuff. It was like watching something that you shouldn't see, you know? It felt forbidden. And it felt really wrong. But it was genius. And I think... hasn't really been replicated since, and I don't think it ever can, you know, because of the timing. Like, there's so much, you know, people just call out bullshit now, and I think Blair Witch is definitely up there.
That's a cracking answer.
Yeah, in terms of cinema, because obviously I didn't see The Shining and, you know, all, and The Exorcist. I didn't see that at cinema. I saw that at home, you know what I mean? So in terms of the cinema, yeah, that was terrifying. And I don't think a film has scared me since, like, that in the cinema, since Blair Witch. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had an experience where you've watched something in a bespoke place? For example, at Empire years ago, when Paranormal Activity came out, which is kind of, you know, Blair Witch's heir apparent, we showed it in what we were told was London's most haunted pub. So we hired,
I love that.
We hired out a haunted pub, and we got loads of readers to come in, and we showed Paranormal Activity to them. Mm-hmm. And can't remember if we did a Q&A afterwards or not, but that was wild. Just watching people lose their shit in real time was in what they thought was a haunted pub was awesome.
I love that. And you know what? Like I said, there was two. That was my second one, Paranormal Activity. Years later, I watched that in... So it's a long story. I won't tell you all of it, but I went to New York Film Academy when I was younger, me and two of my mates. And we went there to obviously study film, because I did film and broadcast as my degree. So we thought we'd save money and go to, you know, New York Film Academy. We kind of got there and we realized it was a bullshit course. You know, it was like $4,000 to like make a short film on these cameras that, you know, it was like, and there was all these kind of foreign students. And we just realized it was so not, you know, after doing a degree in film for 3 years, to go on to do this three month course that was like $4,000. We realized it was a bit of a, not a scam, but it was a bit like a thing of like, oh yeah, I went to NYFA. You know what I mean? So then they were like, if you want to drop out, you got to drop out today. You'll get a full refund. And we're like, why don't we just drop out, spend time in New York and just do our own. We had our own equipment. We had DSLRs and lenses. We were like, let's just make our own shit, you know? So then they were like, but if you drop out, your student visa is void. They said, but there is a loophole. You can go to Canada and you can come back on your visa waiver. And that's a real loophole. It's legal, but it's dodgy. So we went to Canada. Most of our shit's still in New York. And then we went to Toronto, had an amazing 3 days there, stayed in Chinatown, watched Paranormal Activity, right? It was very, because obviously we were young filmmakers. We got very inspired. We started thinking about an idea where we could find someone who's got no family, nothing, and we do something similar where we make it look like he's been whatever killed in by some ghost, and we pay him, and then we leave the footage in the forest to be discovered naturally, and it might take years. Anyway, we had this elaborate idea, and we thought, you know, we will go to jail for this, but it's worth it. Then we got, so while we're having this conversation, we're in a Hooters bar in Toronto. Then we started being paranoid about, do you think everything will be fine once we go back to customs? And they were like, yeah, it's fine. It's all legit, isn't it? You know, it's a loophole, but it's legit. And then we started getting more and more drunk. And then we really started panicking. So one of my mates said the most stupidest thing ever. He said, why don't we just rip out our student visas, out our passports, and just not mention it? So that's what we did. And
Oh my God.
And this is all the same day as we watched Paranormal Activity, because all these crazy illegal ideas. So we ripped out our visas and left them in our beer glass. And then we were interrogated for 8 hours at the US embassy at the airport, in customs, US customs. And we basically got denied entry back to the US. And then it was, look, long story short, we completely admitted. We said, we're idiots. We were drunk. We were paranoid. You know, we're kids here. We're like 21, right? So then we went back to England, got a normal visa, and came back to New York. It was, you know, 2-3 weeks, but obviously heartbreaking. I remember the funniest moment was because they interrogated, you know, they went through all my belongings. And I remember I used to get my hair cut by this dude, this Arab dude in Hounslow. His name was Al Wassam. And I remember the US customs guy just walked in really serious. He threw the card on the table and he went, who is Al Wassam? And I was like, he's a camp barber from Hounslow West. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I fucked up. Please.
Tell me more about this camp.
Yeah.
What kind of camp is it? Huh?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Sorry, I told you I wasn't going to tell you the whole story, and I basically did. Sorry, I'm trying to tell it really quickly, though. Sorry.
And all Paranormal Activity's fault as well.
It is, though, because it was such, again, a genius idea. And it makes you start thinking outside of the box. So it will lead you to do stupid shit, like you rip your flipping student visa out. You know what I mean? Like, but, oh, man, yeah. I can laugh about it now, but honestly, during the time, it was very traumatic. Like, I cried. Like, I remember being in Toronto broke, because I was so broke. I had no money. Yeah. You know, we didn't get our refund yet from NYFA. We were waiting for that. I didn't want to call my mum up and be like, Mum, I've dropped out. And I mean, imagine that. Yeah. It was horrible. Yeah. I had to just, you know, anyway.
Oh, well, happy, about it now. Happy memories.
Exactly.
We're all good. Actually, this brings us on nicely to the movie that made you cry the most in a cinema.
Wow. It's not hard to make me cry, you know, that I'm a firm believer in man, let it out, you know what I mean? I think in terms of men as well these days, like, there's so much toxic masculinity and, like, you know, pride and all that. I'm all about have a little cry, mate. You feel great after a film and you have a little cry. So in the cinema, which made me cry the most?
Yeah.
Man, what can I say? That is really, really tough. I would say most recently I remember going to watch Roma with my friends in the cinema. I mean, that was a very emotionally exhausting film. I think I cried maybe 4 or 5 times during that film. It was a brilliant film, which I think is a bit forgotten, actually. I think even though
it has been
a bit forgotten because of the whole Netflix thing, and it was like the first film that was really big on Netflix that was supposed to be cinema, you know, like cinema and Netflix, all that kind of, it was like the first of that film, which was like, and it's a foreign film and it gets a bit, you know, but yeah, Roma definitely messed me up a little bit, I'd say. Minari as well. I was quite teary with Minari as well. I feel like Minari reminded me of my family a lot because, you know, my family were immigrants, young married couple as well, and I remember the gran really reminded me of my gran, and the little boy kind of reminded me of me, and the sister reminded me of my sister, and just, you know, trying to make it. And just that scene, which is such a beautiful scene, when you know, she says, you know, I can't do this anymore, you know, and it's just so powerful. You're like, wow, like, you know, and she says that, you know, you want to be with me when things are good, but when things are bad, you want to run away. Like, it was just, you know, my parents are divorced and all that. And I think it was just very tough for a young couple who were trying to make it and, you know, immigrants in a foreign land and trying to do the best for the kids. Very emotional. So yeah, I would say Minari and Roma definitely messed me up.
Those are beautiful films. They absolutely are. You've just reminded me of an experience I had when I saw A Monster Calls at a screening. And the list is filled with hardened journalists. I don't know if you've seen a Monster Calls.
I haven't. You know that. It's one I've missed. God. I need to
it's
watch
tremendous.
It, actually.
Well, I won't give it away, but let's just say the last few minutes are very emotional. So the lights, the credits start rolling. The lights come up. I'm in the very front row of the cinema, and all I can hear behind me is row after row of people just sniffing and sobbing.
Really?
It's wild.
I've just written it down on my watch list because I remember when it came out and I just kind of missed it, and I've heard it's great. Heard it's great.
It is absolutely tremendous. Well, I've got to let you go in a second because I know you've got.
It's all good. I've got
a big old test in
a few minutes. Yeah, I've got the old PCR test. Yeah.
But so I'm going to do a quick speed round. So, is there a memorable audience reaction which springs to mind? You know, it could be a blockbuster, it could be a comedy, it could be a horror film, where you just, you know, you get that communal experience of people gasping or applauding or just reacting viscerally to a film.
You know what? I would say Parasite was very interesting to watch in the cinema. I mean, I remember I watched an early screening of Parasite actually on my way to Japan. And,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, through the kind of whatever they are, the BAFTA portals or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember when I got to Japan, that's all I was talking about for the first week, just telling everyone, you need to go watch this film. Then I watched it again in the cinema, and I remember the reactions were just so many laughter, gasps, crying, like that. I honestly think Parasite, and I know it's not overrated or underrated or overhyped or underhyped, it is what it is, it's just a masterpiece. I think Parasite might be the best film ever made. And at first I used to say it was the best film of the decade, which I think it is, but I think it might be the best film ever made because you have to remember in what year it came out as well. Like some of the films that came out in the same year as Parasite were also incredible. Like, you know, it came out, I remember like The Lighthouse. I remember I saw a list the other day, 1917, The Invisible Man, obviously not as good, but like Midsommar, like Joker, I Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like it was an absolutely insane year for movies. Mm. And it crushed all of them. And it not only won like the best, you know, obviously best foreign film, it won the best film of the whole year. So for me, I think 10 years down the line, people will be rating Parasite as the best film of all time. I think so anyway. And it was definitely the most audibly diverse range of noises I've ever heard in a cinema. It had everything because the film has everything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The film really does have everything. I'm trying to find this. I had an amazing list of these films in 2019 that I forgot about, that so many films were. And I was like, fucking hell, it really did beat a lot of amazing films. Like it had a lot of competition. It was a really good year for cinema. And it crushed. Like, and I rated it. I remember I put a bet down to actually be like, I that it will win best film. And I was proper, just fully behind it. So yeah, I'd say Parasite for that. Sorry, this is supposed to be this quick round.
No, it's fine. You should have put 10 grand on it. My God.
No, I put like 20 quid on it. I didn't.
Oh, man.
It was more just because I was staying up late for it and I wanted to like a reason to stay up late. One of them ones.
Gotta have the courage of your convictions in these things. That's why I developed a massive gambling habit and huge debt. Just real quick. Obviously, people just do nothing. It's about to come out in the cinemas. I don't know whether you've seen it with an audience yet, but have you had, what's it like watching your own films in cinemas?
Well, like I said, you know, I've seen it many, many times, but no, I haven't watched it in cinema yet. We're actually watching it on cinema next week, and I've literally invited everyone. Like, I invited my mum, my dad, who are divorced, remarried with different kids, and that's going to be interesting. I've invited basically all my friends, anyone who knows me, because it's in Cineworld in Leicester Square, so it's like, there's so much space. So I've literally just invited everyone, which is quite anxiety-provoking, but that'll be the first time I watch it with an audience, and I'm kind of like, I'm shitting it a little bit, but at the same time, I know, like, I'm very confident with the film. I think we did a good job. Like, you know, I think it's very hard to transition from TV to film, or TV show to film. I mean, and I think we've done it in an honest way, sincere way. We've kept true to the, well, I hope so, anyway, kept true to the show, but elevated in a way, made it feel cinematic, made you enjoy Japan. You know, characters are still the same characters. So I'm proud of it, and I think I'm very proud of just doing something with your mates from nothing, you know, starting from your mate's bedroom, filming little YouTube sketches to chewing a film with Japan. It's mental, and I'll always be surprised and humbled by it. So yeah, I can't wait.
So you'll watch it. You're not one of those actors who just ducks out halfway through because you're looking for the mistakes, or you're seeing the mistakes and you just can't.
I've seen all the mistakes and gave all my notes and fought with 100 people about it. So I'm over that now. I'm happy with it. I'm at peace with it now, you know?
Amazing. And the last question, this is a big one perhaps. What's your cinema food / snack of choice?
Oh, God. See, I am a bit of a girthy boy, so I do kind of... The thing with cinema food is it always gets consumed within the first, like, nearly before the film even starts, during the adverts. For me, anyway, I just kind of scoff it down, because I almost see it as a meal. Because you're supposed to eat after, aren't you, the film? So you're starving before. Yeah. Okay, I would probably go for popcorn mixed, you know?
Okay, good.
It's a bit of yin-yang. It's like life. It's a metaphor for life, you know, light and dark. You always need opposites. I will go for probably mostly a Coke Zero, but if I'm feeling a bit fancy, I might get one of them frozen Tango things.
Yeah. Oh, the Ice Blast.
Yeah, it gives me brain freeze, but it's very nostalgic. I do like it. And now it's disgusting because now obviously no plastic straws, so the straw gets soggy within 30 seconds. And then I do like nachos, I'm not going to lie, but the nachos needs to come with everything. Like, you know, it needs to have the jalapenos, it needs to have the salsa, and it needs to have the cheese sauce. I can't just do, you know, one with, it has to be everything, you know, and a lot of the time they always miss one condiment. They won't have the cheese or the salsa or the jalapenos. And I'm just like, well, leave it then. I'm like, is it cheaper that you haven't? They're like, no, it's the same price. Yeah, some spotty teenager be like, no, same price. Why is it the same price? No cheese sauce. You know, I mean, it should be cheaper. You know?
You're going to negotiate, start haggling with the guy behind the counter.
I'll give you 30p, take it or leave it. I'm walking away.
You're just going to throw them out at the end of the night anyway. You might as well just give them to me.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I'm actually going to try that next time I'm at the cinema, see how it goes. Yeah. But on that note, Asim, I'm going to let you go. It's been an experience co-founding and a business with you. I didn't expect that.
But, I know. I'm just annoyed that I can't remember the other business. It'll come to me like in a week or something, and I'll be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, just slide into my DMs. Let's make this happen. We'll be on Dragon's Den before the year's out. Yeah. Asim Chowdhury, it's been an absolute pleasure, man. Thanks so much indeed.
Thank you very much, mate. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care. And that was Asim Chowdhury. And if you want more of him, and I know you do, he's on this week's Empire podcast and is also very, very funny on that. People Just Do Nothing Big in Japan is out from Wednesday, 18th of August. So check that out if you're going to the cinema anytime soon, which I would highly recommend you do. I would also highly recommend listening to the first two episodes of Celebration of Cinema, featuring interviews with Olga Kurylenko and the composer David Arnold. And stay tuned for next week's, because it is a belter, folks, as Mr. Simon Pegg talks to us about his most memorable movie-going experiences. But until then, that is it from this week's Celebration of Cinema, in association with Meerkat Movies from Compare the Market. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week. Bye.